The book of Hosea, chapter 1. The book of Hosea, chapter number 1. We have an old Schofield reference Bible. It's found on page number 921. For all the deacons, Hosea is in the Old Testament. Hosea. The book of Hosea. And we'll look at a couple of passages here and try to bring, a love message. Everybody wants you to preach on love. Brother Jeremy, won't you ever preach on love? Well, the Bible says, love not the world, neither things in the world. Amen. But in the book of Hosea, chapter number 1, we find a very peculiar story that I'd like to preach in some fashion, maybe a little different than what I would normally do on a Sunday morning, but I do a lot of things that a lot of people don't do. Hosea chapter number 1, in verse number 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. Now I want you to fast forward to chapter number 3. A lot of things took place in chapter number 2. But in chapter number 3, I want you to look at verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord, toward the children of Israel, who took to the other gods and loved flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide with me many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without a tephrim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. You'll notice in chapter number 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Over in verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. We find here in the book of Hosea, God giving us a picture and a type and a foreshadow of the nation of Israel as a whole, as they have been God's chosen people. And can I say this? They're still God's chosen people. They may be in time out. They may be standing in the corner. But whatever you do, leave them alone. They're still God's chosen people. Even though you get on to a kid and you get on to a kid and you discipline a kid, that does not make him no longer your kid. He's still your kid. He may be in timeout. He may be in disciplinary action, but he's still God's child. The nation of Israel is still God's people. So for a few minutes this morning, I want to preach to you just a few minutes about Hosea and Gomer. Amen. Beginning with Hosea, all the way to Malachi, you'll find 12 minor prophets, what they call minor. It's not because they're not important, it's because of the size. The book of Hosea and those minor prophets are not as big as Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel. That's why they call them the minor prophets, not because of their importance, it's because of the size of their book. Hosea, his name comes from the same root word as Joshua, deliverer, salvation. And so Hosea, if you will, has that same deliverer and salvation for a name. He was a prophet in the land of the northern kingdoms. He was a northerner. To give you, for instance, Jeremiah, he was a prophet of the southern kingdoms. And Jeremiah spoke like this, you all. But Hosea from the northern kingdom, as a prophet of the northern kingdom, he would say, you guys.
Hosea, being a prophet, he had many preacher friends, if you will. His preacher friends were people like Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Amos, and all of those kind of guys. Hosea was a man that God wanted to warn the nation of Israel to come back to Him. Israel was serving other gods. They were bowing down to other gods. They would come to church on Sunday. And they would do their sacrifices. But then they would leave and worship the gods of Baal. And they were committing spiritual adultery in the sight of God. And God says, Hosea, I need to talk to you. I want you to get a message to the nation of Israel. I want you to tell them what I'm feeling. I want you to tell them how my heart is broken. I want you to tell them how I want them to return unto me. And the theme of the book of Hosea is the nation of Israel, please return, come back to God. So if you'll allow me just for a few minutes, I would like to speak to you from the person of Hosea. And tell this story just for a few moments from the eyes of Hosea. Is that okay? I mean, that's what I got wrote down, so you'll have to bear with it. This morning, let me introduce myself to you. My name is Hosea. I'm a prophet of the Lord God Jehovah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I am up in the northern kingdom. God has called me, and I've been preaching a lot of crusades. And one particular time, I was preaching a crusade, and it was way up on Mount Tabor. And I come down from Mount Tabor, and all of a sudden, I found myself by myself. And I was all of a sudden in the presence of a holy God. And I was afraid. I was afraid to even lift my head. I was afraid. I was in the presence of an invisible God. And I was in the presence of a holy and just God. And God said, Hosea, Hosea. I said, Lord, here I am. He said, Hosea, I've got to talk to you just for a few minutes. You know how the nation of Israel has departed from me. You know how the nation of Israel has returned unto the idol gods and to the gods of Baal. And you know how Israel has committed spiritual fornication and spiritual adultery against the Lord God Jehovah. I want you, Hosea, to tell my people they have ruptured our relationship. They have fractured our fellowship. They have returned to their idols, and it's become between me and them. Hosea said, I didn't say much. I was just listening. He was sort of like E.F. Hutton. When God speaks, everybody listens. Hosea was just afraid to even look up. God began to speak, and Hosea said, I was in the presence of the Lord, and I heard Him speak, and now I know how Moses felt when God spoke to him through the burning bush. Now I know how Noah felt when He told him to build that ark. Now I know the presence of God and the voice of God has a sound of many rushing waters. So as He talked, I thought it was as if God was going to do what He did in Genesis chapter number 6. It was as if in the sound of His voice, He was upset, His heart was broken, and it was almost like in Genesis chapter number 6, where just any minute I felt like He was going to wipe the nation of Israel off the face of the map. He said, I could tell it in His voice. And God began to say, Hosea, I will have mercy on the house of Israel. I will save her. I will redeem her. I still love her. I didn't understand what He was trying to say. What does that have to do with me? God, I understand. If you want to save Israel, save them. If you want to destroy them, destroy them. But what does that have to do with me? And God said, Hosea, you got to know what I'm feeling. You got to know what I'm going through. You got to know what I'm experiencing up here in my heart. And Hosea said, well, God, what do you want me to do? And Hosea, our God, said, Hosea, I want you to marry. Mary? God, what are you talking about, Mary? Hosea, I want you to marry a wife. Hosea, well, now that you bring that up, there is a lady. I've been looking at her. She's been looking at me, and she's been helping me in my crusades. She's been passing out my little Old Testament tracts that I have, and she's been selling my CDs on the CD table when I get done preaching. And she's really been helping me, and I'm telling you, she's a good-looking woman. I've talked with her dad. She's of a Jewish heritage, and she's got a fine Jewish heritage, and I've already talked with her dad, and we've been making eye contact with one another. I'm telling you, I mean, she'll make somebody a good wife. She'll make somebody a wonderful wife. Lord, is that what you want me to marry her? And God says, Hosea, you are correct. She will make somebody a good wife. But Hosea, I've got different plans for you. I want you to get ready. I want you to marry. I want you to marry a woman that's a pagan. I want you to marry a woman that is a Gentile. I want you to marry someone that is a prostitute. Hosea said, no, no, never will I disgrace my heritage. I'd rather die in dignity than live in disgrace. No, 10,000 times, no. I don't want to marry somebody that's a pagan. I will not return unto those pagans. I will not marry out of the tribe of the Jewish tribe. Lord, I'll not fail you like that. No, 10,000 times, no. And God says, Hosea, are you through? He says, as I was saying, I want you to marry a lady by the name of Gomer. Gomer is a pagan. Gomer is a Gentile. And she is an adulterous woman. I want you to marry her. God, why? Why do you want me to do this? Why? Jeremiah's going to be talking about me. I've got a bigger church than he does. And now he's going to be talking about me. And Daniel, what is he going to think? I marry a Gentile woman. What are these people going to think of me and my ministry? God, why? And God says, I want you to know how I feel. You've got to experience what I have experienced. You, Hosea, must feel what I'm feeling. You must experience, you must go through a domestic disaster to experience what I'm going through. I want you to go and marry Gomer. You do trust me, don't you, Hosea? Oh, yes, God, I do trust you. I mean, if you tell me to go marry her, I don't understand why. I don't know how you're going to get any glory out of this. I don't understand. But, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'm not going to get off this mountain until I do what you say. And I'm going to obey you. And I'm going to go and marry that woman. Even though I don't understand, even though I don't want to, I will if that's what you want me to do. My friend, we need to come to that place right there. Even when God says do what you don't want to do, even when He says I want you to do this, and you say, God, I don't want to do this, but when you submit to the authority of God and the obedience of an almighty God, Hosea said, I decided I was going to do what God told me to do, no matter what the world said, no matter what my preacher friend said, no what my certain camp says, I'm going to do, no matter what the association in Nashville says, I'm going to do what God has told me to do. Amen. And he said, I felt a peace that passes all understanding. I just felt, I felt like the windows of heaven is open now that I'm obeying and I'll have obedience to Almighty God. God started putting light on that obedience. God told Hosea, I want you to write three things down. I want you to remember these. I want you, number one, I want you to remember this. God always loves the unlovely. Yeah. Number two, no matter how far or how much you break God's heart, you can never break God's grace. And number three, no matter how far you go down, you cannot go far down for God's hand to not reach down and pick you up out of the miry clay. Set your feet on a solid rock. Establish your goings. Put a new song in your heart. Even praise unto our God. He told Hosea, I want you to remember those three things. Hosea married Gomer, and he says, I remember those first few years. I'm going to tell you, Gomer, hey, she was a fine woman. I'm talking about ever more fine. She had a shape like the figure eight. Her cheeks were red as roses. Her teeth as white as the snow. She helped me in my crusades. She was a wonderful lady. You know, after I married her, she got rid of all of those short dresses. She started dressing like a preacher's wife. She got rid of all of them low-cut tops. She got rid of all of them, that lipstick that looked like it had been caked on. And if you ever run into her, it looked like you've been spray-painted. She put away all that stuff. She got away from them big 10-inch heels. She started walking different. She started reading her Old Testament with me at night before we'd go to sleep. She started drinking different things. And she wasn't snorting stuff up her nose anymore. She wasn't going to the places where she used to go. She wasn't hanging out with the friends that she used to hang out with. And boy, it got so good. I mean, she was some more fine. She changed. She made me a good wife. People talked. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I understand they did. We had a good relationship at first. He said, then I noticed them dresses are getting a little shorter. He said, I noticed she started hanging out with some of them old friends again. Right. Yeah. Hosea said it didn't start all of a sudden. It just little by little.
Yeah. Right.
She would come in. I smelled just a little liquor on her breath.
Yeah.
Hosea said, that hurt me. That hurt me. He said, I just loved that woman so much. He said she'd come in and smell like she'd been in a bar. She just little by little, young people don't take, but just little by little, just takes one sip, one drag, one snort up the nose. She started coming home. I mean, we got three kids together. And I'm finding myself having to change and clean the house and change the diapers and warm the milk up. And I'm having to do all of this stuff myself while she's running the streets again. But I love that woman. She starts coming in at 5 and 6 in the afternoon. And then later on it starts to be 7 and 8 at night. And then all of a sudden it's 9 or 10. And then it's midnight. Then I approached her. I said, Gomer, where you been? Don't you ask me where I've been. I've been out with my friends. I need my time to myself. Any of you men want to testify? I just need my time. Don't you fuss at me. Okay, Gomer. Okay. Then it happened to be 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning when she starts coming in. And did you know here lately, she ain't been coming in at all. She ain't been coming in at all. You know, I hadn't seen that woman in a few years now. I don't even know where she's at. Couldn't tell you where she's at. I go to the grocery, and they're looking and pointing. Whispering. I saw Jeremiah the other day and he wouldn't even talk to me. He had invited me to his Bible conference since I married this woman. I don't understand why they're talking. I hear what they're saying. I hear what they're saying at the grocery store. I hear what they're saying at Walmart. They're saying that she's gone back into her old ways. She's gone back into worshiping those other men. That's what they're saying around town. Oh, it hurts me. It hurts my heart. It's breaking my heart in two. And you could take my Atlanta for a stomachache. You can go to the dentist for a toothache. You can get something and rub on for the muscle ache. But there ain't nothing you can do for a heartbreak and a heartache that you can't fix. Hosea got up early one morning. He said, I got to get some relief. I got to get some relief. I got to get some relief. I've got to go find God. I've got to go find Him. And how many of you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you want some relief, you got to get to where God is. You got to find where God is. God, where you at? And he climbs up on this mountain and he's looking around looking for God. Where did you go? And he finds out on top of Mount Tabor. He finds God up there. He's looking. God. Hosea. God, I need to talk to you. Hosea, I need to talk to you too. Oh God, this can't wait. I got to tell you. So I got to get some relief. God says, I'm God. I'm God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I go first.
Amen.
Okay. All right. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to listen. Hosea, yes, where is Gomer? Where is Gomer? I come up here to ask you the same question. You the one told me to go marry this woman. This is your whole idea. I'm coming to ask you where she is. Hosea, where is Gomer? Lord, I hadn't seen her in several years now. Hosea, how do you feel? What, God, what do you mean how I feel? It's breaking my heart in two. I fell in love with this woman. I've spent time with this woman. How do you mean? What do you mean? How do I feel? People are talking. Hosea, how do you feel? How do you feel? Well, God, they're talking all over town. I'm the talk of the whole community. What do you mean how I feel? Hosea, would you please settle down and tell me how you feel? Hosea said, ain't nobody up here but us, me and you, is it? I said, no, ain't nobody up here. I still love her.
Yeah.
What was that, Hosea? I still love her.
Amen.
Hosea, can you speak up? I can't hear you. It's all in there somewhere, all right? just go with me, all right? It's in there. You'll have to read it when you get home. Hosea, how do you feel? God, I still love her. I still love her. I'll do anything to get her back. I still love that woman. God says, Hosea, now you're ready to go preach to the nation of Israel. God, what do you mean? What do you mean? Now you know how I feel. Now you know what I'm going through. Now you can preach with boldness, and now you can say that you've experienced it firsthand. You know what God is going through. You know of a broken heart. You know how it feels when your nation of Israel, the ones that you love, the ones that you brought out of the land of Egypt by the blood on the doorpost and by parting the Red Sea. Now you know when you spent much time sending manna from heaven, quail meat, any time they wanted it. Now you know when they leave the God that loved them and they go and worship the gods of Baal and the gods of Ashtaroth and the gods of Easter. Now, Hosea, now you know how I feel. God, what about Gomer? Is there any chance I can get her back? I want you to look in chapter number 3 real quick. Verse number 2. I'm almost done. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. And for a homer of barley. And a half a homer of barley. God told Hosea, said, Gomer's done hit rock bottom. Sometimes you got to hit rock bottom. Before you really know how much God loves you. She done hit rock bottom. Now she's in slavery. Now she's got her hands behind her back. Now she's been sold into the slave market. Gomer goes down. Hosea goes down to that slave market. And all of he's got in his checkbook. All of he looks and he's got in his checkbook. It's 15 shekels. And he's half short. He's got to buy her for 30. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Joseph was sold for the same amount into slavery. Can I say you this? Jesus was betrayed by Judas for the same amount. Ladies and gentlemen, you're getting the picture. Don't get ahead of me because we ain't getting there yet. Hosea's looking at his checkbook. He's looking. He said, I'm short. It looks like I'm going to have to sacrifice everything I own.
Amen.
To get this woman back. Not only is going to take everything in my checkbook, the 15 shekels, but now I've got to go into my barley field and sell everything I own. It's going to cost me a prized possession. It's going to cost me a sacrifice in my own family. It's going to bankrupt my whole household just to get this woman back. But he's scrounging around. He says, hold on a minute. Stop the bidding. Hang on. You ought to heard Brother John bidding them cakes off last night. I don't know what church he grew up in, but I got a sneaky suspicion. Gomer. Ho! To 5 shekels to 10. I go 15. Get me the barley field. Tell him I'll do whatever I got. I'll do whatever I got to get this one. And everything, I ain't got time to prove this morning, but everything he sold equaled to 30 shekels. Same thing Jesus was betrayed for. For 30 pieces of silver. Hosea bankrupt his whole bank account just for this woman who he loved with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his mind. It was a personal sacrifice. It was a total sacrifice. It was all that he had. Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus Christ, the Lord God of heaven, bankrupt heaven. He did a total sacrifice, a personal sacrifice. And he says, those people down there, they don't know how much I love them, but I'm going to bankrupt heaven. I'll sell everything I've got to, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hosea, God, what about the nation of Israel? If this picture, this Gomer, it pictures you buying back and redeeming Israel, what does that mean for you? Who are you going to send to redeem Israel? Who are you going to send? Is it going to be Noah? No, Hosea, Noah's got a drinking problem. Maybe it's going to be Abraham. Are you going to send back Abraham to redeem God's people? No, Abraham has a lying problem. He lied. Said his wife was his sister. He ain't going to be worthy. Oh God, I bet you I know who it is. King David. I bet you King David could come back and redeem Israel. No, David got an eye problem. He keeps looking over at the neighbor's house. He's not going to be able to do nothing. Who you going to get, God? Who you going to get? I've named off all I can think about. Who you going to get? He says, oh, there's one coming. He stands in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks. His hair is white as snow. And his feet are like brass. Out of his voice is a sharp two-edged sword. It sounds like the rushing of many waters. And here, ladies and gentlemen, here, when he comes, he'll come to redeem. He says, God says, Hosea, you go tell them, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then we'll hear from heaven. Then we'll hear their land. Then we'll forgive their sin. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is coming. Ladies, he has been here. He's already come. He's already gone. He's the Savior of the world. He came to redeem you, buy you back from the slave market of sin. I know what you've done. It don't matter what you've done. You can't be any worse than Gomer. You can't been nowhere worse than Gomer. You can't have been around nobody else worse than Gomer. You can't have smoked nothing worse than else than Gomer. You couldn't have drunk nothing worse than Gomer. And God Almighty redeemed Gomer through the prophet Hosea, just like he'll redeem you through Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole wide world. What about the nation of Israel? Let me tell you. This is probably Wednesday night stuff, but hang on. In the middle of the tribulation period, the nation of Israel will hit rock bottom. And they'll be in the slave market of sin. They'll be enslaved to the Antichrist. And all of a sudden, heaven's going to open. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head many crowns. He has on his vesture dipped in blood. The word of God. Hey, the two-edged sword proceeded out of his mouth. He comes and defeats old Lucifer. He comes and defeats the Antichrist. And he takes his bride and buys them back off the slave market of sin. And they go into the millennial for a 1,000-year honeymoon. Say, preacher, what did Jesus Christ do? They looked around. Jesus said, I'll go. I'll go. I know Noah can't do it. I know Moses can't do it. I know David can't do it. I know Father Abraham can't do it. But I'll go. And Jesus said this, while I am buying back God the Father's a bride for him, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone and get a bride for myself in the process. Y'all not helping me this morning. He bought back a bride for himself. And he arose from the grave on that third and appointed day. He got up with a spiritual body that you had never seen with your God-given eyeballs. And when the day of Pentecost, ladies and gentlemen, those that got saved were baptized into the body of Christ by the sweet Holy Spirit. And when you get saved, you're saved. Saved until the day of redemption. Sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption, until the rapture comes. He's the prize of the purchased possession, the Holy Spirit of God. He put a down payment. He paid it full in full. I thank God I'm saved. Thank God he fell in love with me. He fell in love with you. And if you don't know by now, that's better than any Valentine card you ever got in your whole life. That's better than any Valentine present that you've ever got in your whole life. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you this.